Okay, I call this a special committee meeting of the Finance, Audit, Facilities, and Planning Committee to order. The time is 7:15, and the date is January 9th, 2012. And with that, Ms. Cortez, can you please call roll?
Mr. Armando Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Patsy Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Rachel Quintana?
Here.
Everybody present?
Okay, and that will take us to the first agenda item.
First agenda item 2A, review of warrant is for December 1st to 31st, 2011, to include discussion and possible recommendation to the Board of Trustees.
Okay, and with that being said, Ms. Quintana, do you have any questions? No? Ms. Mendoza, a question?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Bless you.
Page 6. Launching for a bus driver charter bus to Denver, Colorado. Was this bus?
Yeah. Yes, basically. Let me see the time.
Yes, it's for career and technology. And basically, when we do, when we use a chartered bus services, we are responsible for paying for the lodging fees of the driver.
Good
and
chair.
This was for Kate.
I can shed a little light on that. We took students to a technical college in Denver, Colorado, and the result of that is over $1 million of scholarships. And we'll be having them come to the board in February to talk about their scholarships. But it's a wonderful opportunity, and the kids really benefited from it, and we got these great scholarships for these kids.
Okay.
Page 8, the bottom airfare round trip ticket to Austin for Texas Public Relations. Is this just Gustavo, or because it doesn't list him?
Yes, it is for Gustavo.
Okay. Okay. On page 15, the armored car service, and I know it says for the year 2011-12 school year, they charge us $735 for the whole year, sweetheart?
It's for 8 campus locations, but I would have to verify.
Page 182. The Roman Strength LLC. What is that? Girls Track.
182. It looks like it might be some kind of equipment they use to train, but I will have to find out. I don't know.
Do this drinking coffee. Well, I drink coffee. And that's it. And thank you for the comparison of legal fees and the invoices for help. Thank you.
In training, a sled is one of those blocking things where you push it, mm-hmm. like the football players do, and they push that sled across the field.
I thought maybe we could use it.
Yeah.
Ms. Rowe?
I do. Page 3, at the top of the page for $150, yearly medical exams for drivers. Doesn't seem like enough money for drivers. Seems like only enough for driver.
I'll have to look into that one. I'm not sure.
page 9 for $806.80. It's the third entry down. Seems really high for one person's airfare.
I'll have to look into that.
For $806.80. Right. Do you see?
Yes, okay. I do. I'll have to look into it.
That's fine. Page 23, actually it starts on 22. We got a bunch of buses, and I was wondering, is this all the buses, most all the buses?
I would venture to say it's most of the buses, but
all of them are in, all the buses are in. What we call it, special buses, came in about a week before we left for vacation. So those were the last ones to come.
So we've got all the... How wonderful. Congratulations.
Are all of the regular buses, the new regular buses, in service already?
They're in service. As they came in, we put them in service almost immediately.
Okay. So we said the special buses are in. I didn't know that.
I'll send you an email, please.
Come talk to me about it. Thank you.
Okay. And... Page 28, at the top of the page, for $475 for owl pellets.
It's at the high school, but I am not, it's biological supplies, so it may be some kind of science instructional material of some sort.
Yeah, are they killing them, or are they doing a little else?
I'll have to look into
that. Then, starting, it looks like, on page 41, and it runs, I'll go through all of them. But we've been, as you well know, better than I do, we've been working with this new form of our warrant list.
Yes.
And I see Del Ieto, Bernie Del Ieto, DBA Enterprises for $11,735. There was a time, I think even as recent as last month, that it would say board approved on what date.
And it just depends on who created the purchase.
And not on one of these, not one. There's not one over $10,000 that I could find throughout the entire warrant list that gave the date that the board approved. And you can flip over to the next page on that. A bunch of volleyball stuff for $10,843.
These are the official.
Which just, within that. But I don't recall, as I can say, and here's the next one. Page 45, bottom of the page. Desert Communications, $12,665. And no, it doesn't give what we had been getting in the past, board approval date. And I would like to see that on there to just make sure what's going on.
I did provide a memo that I placed on your chair this evening, and I provided copies of the different things that we use to capture some of the data, but in some cases we don't have to catch it all. And so at the end, if you'd like for me to kind of review what you have in front of you so you can understand, I'm happy to do so.
Not my meeting. it's something that had been happening and it went away. So I'd very much like to see it come back. Page 51, Applebee's for $81.37. Appetizer and a beverage. No description. Page 69, over 10,000 once again, and no board approval date. 5-star automatic fire protection. Page 71, top of the page, Fleet Corps for 20,000. And maybe that's just gas.
Yeah, that's gas.
Okay. Page 75, same thing, Bullet Software for $13,593. No board approval date. Okay. page 77 and actually flips over to 78 at the top of the page. It's $1,000 for the fun book coupons. And I know that we've had some issues with the fun book coupons in the past, and just hope that we've got good oversight, but it's a fundraiser, that we've got the appropriate oversight that we've been hoping to achieve. Page 88, Henderson Fire Protection for $12,558, no date of approval. And I'm really just telling you those, Martha, so, yeah. Page 94 for $20,000 to Indeco sales.
There's three different locations that ordered different items.
Page 127 for Night Eyes Protective Security Service. It's for a temporary security guard until the permanent position is filled. Have we filled it?
I don't believe. They're running through their fingerprints and everything, so they've already selected and recommended
okay.
it, so we're in the process of hiring.
Right. Page 145, Pencil Cup Office Product, $10,000, or over $10,000. Page 151, Plan B Networks for $168,000. Same issue, no, you know, no board approval date.
Okay.
Page 181, to Roadrunner Pizza for $70, large pepperoni pizzas for the Board of Trustees at the bonfire. We were all hungry. We didn't get those pizzas.
We did.
You did?
Whoever showed
up. I am so sad. I did not know they were there. Patsy and I were starving.
I did not.
You had to walk all the way back to support Aww. Services.
Yeah,
that's cool. I was really sad about that. Food without me?
Oh,
yeah,
I did.
Always had it back there.
I did have some. Sorry.
I didn't walk back there.
I did. Guilty.
Were the firemen all wrong?
Yeah,
well, so
back
there
were the firemen.
We had some, a couple of tents out, covered tents.
You might have told me.
You weren't in?
Yes, I was.
You have to spread the good news, Dr. Murphy.
I thought Gustavo showed up.
Yeah, Gustavo
was there.
But I just didn't make it to the tent.
Oh.
I was with the students.
That was a good conversation maker.
I left early.
Page 200, and this is a bigger question than just this check. It's for Sonatrol, and I know that Sonatrol takes care of part of the district, not all of the district, but I don't know why. I haven't been here long enough to understand why. And so if someone could just briefly explain to me why they don't do everything.
We can put that in Friday pack.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
That's okay.
Part of the announcement.
I would appreciate that. Page 217, Tech Depot for $23,000, and once again, it's just no board approval date. Page 231, to Voxio for $11,000, same thing, no board approval date. And on page 232, it's a yearly renewal to Walsh, Anderson, Brown, Gallegos, and Green
for $1,000. I don't know what we're renewing.
I think that's the special one, the attorney that does meetings.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, this is probably the biggest one I'll ask you, Martha. On page 237, World's Finest Chocolates for $15,520. Is there any way for us to know, did they make enough money?
I will be presenting, we did send it the first some semester, and I'll be presenting to you a report with the different activities by campus and then profit margin and
great.
Different okay. items related to them.
Okay, and I think that's it. I sure thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Rodriguez, for letting me have that time.
Ms. Cáceres?
Yes. I just, on page 23, I see that we're using a portable unit somewhere. I wanted to know where was it located at for Brunson Pump Service?
Those units are at CMS.
At CMS?
At CMS.
Okay.
And we have them there because if the board recalls the concession stand is not ADA compliant, so what we're doing is we're providing that ADA compliant
facilities outside. So, okay. I wanted to make sure. I wasn't sure if it was still the one at CE. Yeah. And then on page 78, and it continues to page 79, for G&E Industrial Supplies, I see that there was a scope of work on broiler, and it says at the middle school. Is this the one that we approved like back in June? Or something
no,
else?
No, ma'am. this was one of the pumps at CMS. It says middle school, but it's...
Yeah, it says middle school. That's why...
CMS.
Oh, it's CMS.
Yeah, CMS.
Okay.
It's not AMS. It's one of the pumps at CMS on the older boiler.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have a backup pump. It's actually when they put that together, it's only one pump, and that one went out. The windings went out, and that's what we went in and purchased.
Okay, and then I see like right below it, it says emergency for boiler pump repair at JDE. Was that kind of the same situation? Or
actually, yes. In it's a similar situation because on those, we had of the six pumps that are there, three of them went out.
Okay.
And what we're doing is the two of them are backup pumps, so that wasn't, you know, we needed to fix one of them in order to get the heat going for the campus, and okay. Then two of them have not been. We didn't address. We just did that as an emergency. It's only one, because in reality, the one that we did replace is good enough to handle. It's brand new, so it's good enough to handle for this year.
Okay, that's all for me. Thank you.
Oh, sorry, Betty. Ms. Gonzalez.
Okay. It's page 46, and it's developing months. And it says Marsha paid staff development for administrators.
Yes. I believe this was a training that was held. Leadership had received a training in November, and it was. All principals and I believe instructional coordinators for
principals, assistant principals, and right. instructional coordinators and members in central office cabinet. It was an all-day event. Marcus Tate, Dr. Tate, then came back on Friday and presented to all teachers in the district.
With that same amount?
No. And this was for the leaders. It was here in the boardroom. The boardroom was packed. We had probably 40 people here, and then. It was so good, and it really was fantastic that we invited her back, and she did all the teachers on Friday. If you go to our Facebook page, you can see a bunch of pictures of it. She's wonderful, wonderful.
I actually had a teacher call me over the holidays who was excited. She hadn't been able to go to that, and she was looking for, apparently you're going to do like some more.
Well, we've trained now all
this was special ed.
They should have been there on Friday.
Oh, maybe they were on Friday, but everybody was real happy, was my understanding.
It was really great.
She was the one that provided training on Friday.
Yes, same one, same person.
Okay. I think you could say it's similar to a page 51. Eduforia, it says Eduforia training for administrators. They haven't been trained or?
I'm not sure when this training was held, but I will find out for you.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Coronado?
No questions.
Committee, are we in agreement to recommend it to the full board?
Yes.
Good. Okay, we're in agreement to recommend it to the full board. If you could take us to the next agenda item, please.
Agenda item 2E, review of district financials for December 1st through the 31st, 2011, to include discussion and possible recommendation to the Board of Trustees.
Ms. Quintana, any questions? Ms. Mendoza, any questions?
No, sir.
Ms. Soros?
No.
Mr. Coronado? No. Ms. Gonzalez?
No, sir.
Ms. Cazares?
No, not at this time.
Okay. And are we in agreement to recommend it to the full board?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have an update that's going to be coming up on our...
The brokerage firm?
Not the brokerage firm, but remember we were going to get... Well, there's probably no arbitrage right now because of interest rates. So, but I guess a history of that. And then are we looking for more brokerage firms?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
So hopefully I can have a report for you for next week.
Okay.
I'm hoping to have something ready.
Okay.
Bless you.
And I guess that will take us to the next agenda item, Ms. Cortez.
Agenda item 2C, compliance calendar review.
Ms. Quintana, do you have any questions?
No.
Ms. Mendoza?
No, sir, it's real informal.
Ms. Soros, any questions?
No, once again, very informative.
Ms. Quintana? Ms. Cazares?
No.
Ms. Gonzalez?
No, thank you.
And Mr. Cornell?
No, I just want to make a note the majority of the are still under pretty much the same as it was the year before, right? In terms of the harassment and inconsistent processes.
Oh,
it's carried over.
We're on the agenda.
I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Oh, okay. I wasn't paying attention. On the hotline?
On the hotline.
The compliance... Are we waiting for, I guess, the... What I would like to see is the 2007-2008. When are we going to be able to complete that?
Oh, that one I was trying to find related to the mesh hours.
Yes.
That one, I'm in the process of getting access to the data that I need so that I can actually do that analysis. And again, that analysis is part of the actual audit, but in conjunction with that, the analysis that I'll be performing needs to kind of be transferred over to facilities and transportation so that they can essentially take that over and do it on a go-forward basis.
What's a projected timeline you're looking at for?
Hopefully within the next month, because with the stuff that was going on last month and then this month, I actually had a meeting today to kind of figure out what the data is, we just need to kind of go through the process of getting access. And once I do that, then I can actually start looking at the data. So I'm hoping within the next month, I can at least initiate the analysis, and based on what we see there, then I can kind of give you an update again in a month.
Okay, thank you. And I guess I'll take us to the next agenda item.
Agenda item 2D, hotline activity summary report.
Ms. Quintana? Ms. Mendoza?
Very important.
It's got a lot of graphs.
Ms. Soros, any questions?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure how open I can ask the question, but it seems to me like there's, like central office is a hotbed of issues.
Number one, keep in mind these are allegations.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the additional perspective that we added within the last update was that separating the location where the incident was alleged to have occurred, as opposed to the responsible party for the allegation, and
as it turns out, you know, been looking at the numbers and the data behind it, it does appear that the majority of these things are alleged to have been, the alleged subject is a member of the administration, central administration.
Yeah, I mean, it's overwhelming.
But and again, it is allegations that the district court does not reflect, you know, that there's, out of all of these hotline reports that are here, some of them are substantiated, some have not. And so even though the allegation is there, it could be, and that's the specific number, though. The reason that I have not included that attribute in the report is that on some cases, there's enough information to make here where you may be able to slice and dice and make a reasonable jump to, especially the categories, the allegation categories that have the lower numbers. It may be easy to kind of just figure out, so to speak, what the...
So what page are you on here?
All of them. Take, pick your, pick a page. Start with page 8.
Well, even if you look at page 5.
Yeah, I mean, anywhere you look, just open your little book up, and anywhere you look, it is overwhelming.
If you look at page 5, chart 3 on page number 5, that one is the one that most directly speaks to... I guess who was alleged to be the subject of the hotline report. And that one, overwhelmingly, if you look at administration, overall in terms of just where the location of the alleged report is supposed to occur, location-wise, administration, you know, 22 out of 74. But if you kind of separate the location and really just key in on, okay, well, what is the home campus of the subject of the allegation? That's 37 out of 74.
Yeah, which is... overwhelming compared to all the rest of the, you know, the data given to us. I guess my question is, what do you do with it now? Substantiate, follow up?
It depends on, because for example, that chart does not reflect the nature of the allegation, it doesn't reflect the allegation category, and so that
but depends on... But further through the charts, that is clarified. And comes up time and time again is the same allegation, or, you know, overwhelmingly high numbers for the same offense, correct?
No, not for the same offense.
Because I see harassment as like at the top of the list.
Well, harassment is just the most common allegation, number 21, but if you look at, for example, if you look at chart 29 on page 17, that's the allegations for the month, and what you can see is that the majority of harassment allegations that were received were prior to, I think, within the last 4 months since the last update, we only received one new harassment allegation.
Okay, so that's good.
So, I mean, you kind of have to go back and yeah, the majority may be, administration may be the subject of the majority of these allegations, but you still need to break it down and take the next look in terms of the primary allegation category. And actually, on page 4, charts 2.1 through 2.5, because what we did in September is I actually shared this report with district leadership for the very purpose of just kind of starting to build awareness around some of these allegations. And one of the things that administration came back and asked for was a little bit more breakdown specifically on the harassment categories and stuff, so we could start getting a better sense of, feeling, what are we talking about? Is this something that's going on at our student level, at our staff level, at our supervisory level? And how are those interactions kind of playing out so that we can start building that information base and start developing the plan of action?
Because once again, I see it's overwhelming on chart 2.1 of who the perpetrator is.
And it's supervisor to staff and staff to student. And so that, I think in previous reports, we've talked about how the majority of harassment reports received have involved, I guess, the subjects are more adults as opposed to students. And so I think the training that we've had that Michelle DeBellis has provided in the last two sessions to district leadership, I think that has a direct play into that, because the first training was really about helping to build trust within the organization. And in order to do that, a lot of that's factored in is basically how we treat each other. And recognizing that respect is paramount. And you don't have to agree on everything, but you at least have to make sure that you're respectful in those interactions. The second training that was given in December was about collaborative, working together in a collaborative nature. And again, I think those trainings will definitely help to kind of at least begin addressing some of these harassment issues that we see occurring at the adult levels within our organization.
It looks like your wrap-up is that at the open reports, there are ongoing investigations and there's waiting period.
Yes.
As board member, I would very much like to see this is an excellent report, but it's not a comprehensive report, as we're saying. You've got to look at chart 2.1, compare it to chart 7, flip back and forth. There's not a comprehensive, easy read to it. And I, as a board member, I would like if you could take this and break it down to a smaller, more comprehensive, more easily read, you know, just that this is wonderful, we've got an idea of how everything breaks up, but an easier read and a more comprehensive overview.
Sure.
Can you follow?
We can do.
Okay. I would like that recommendation to the board.
Okay, that's fine. And Mr. Coronado, real quick, and then
I'm... No,
okay.
Go ahead.
No, she was just pointing.
Thank you, Ms. Adalgo.
And in some of these things, in terms of the reports, if you all take a look at page 3, for example, it indicates when these reports and the types of reports that come in, or how many reports are coming in. If you look, guys, it seems like every March, April, and May, we have a spike.
Yeah.
What happens in March, April?
Contracts.
Summer. Oh, I thought it was summer.
Okay. What happened back in 2010, March, April, and May?
Oh.
We were going through cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What happened back in year before? We went through cuts. Okay. These
Maybe
are all.
Maybe we see a pattern.
I think you know I can see a pattern there. The good thing about it is. I see even less, though, after this downturn from this last year. The number of complaints have really dropped down quite a bit over the recent. Is that right?
Yeah, the spikes aren't as significant.
Yeah. So we have to look at it in context of, I think, of what's going on in this period that makes it so. Why is it that every year during March, April, and May we get an increase of reports, and it's usually through administration or here? We also have to understand the majority of the reports that are made, granted, I don't like the harassment type deals because those shouldn't be just to this area. But I can see why most of the complaints would be about administration, because where do all the directives come from? Where do all the administrative regulations come from? Where do who's going to march to which school come from?
The board.
Well, the board of
administration.
So I can see that we would get, and if you put some board complaints about the board, probably we'd probably be included in there too. You know, I just think we need to look at it in context of what, administration does the majority of directives to the rest of the campuses and the employees. It's only natural that's where the majority of the complaints are going to be.
And I think kind of to the point that was brought up earlier, the harassment allegation category and the inconsistent process allegation category, those still continue to be the most voluminous.
Yeah.
And the inconsistent process kind of to your point,
right.
As whether it's, previously existing regulations and now we're making a move to kind of, implement more consistent enforcement, or we're introducing new regulation procedures and policies, if we're not, as a district, doing an effective job of being consistent, people are going to kind of take the perspective of, I'm not being treated fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the result on that is that there is an appearance or perception of favoritism, one staff member over another because the process wasn't followed the same way, one student over the other because they weren't, they didn't achieve the same result given the same criteria.
And Mr. Chair, and along those lines, that was my main concern over all of this, because all the rest of it I can see they're very sporadic complaints and stuff, and I can see those patterns, March, April, May is when we have a gush of them, and I can see why administration would take the brunt of them, because that's where they come from. The one that I have a concern about is exactly that, the harassment and inconsistent process. I'm sure they're going down, but there's still quite an amount of complaints on that.
Right, and again, if you page 17, chart 29, mm-hmm. Kind of in terms of just keeping the context of all of this, mm-hmm. it kind of gives you a representation of the type of allegations mm-hmm. that we've received in the last 4 months. Mm-hmm. And you'll see again, you know, even though harassment is the primary category in terms of numbers, within the last 4 months, we've only received one such allegation, yeah. and in terms of the inconsistent process, you know, in the last 4 months, we haven't received any. The last ones that we received were back in August.
Actually, the way I like to look at it in terms of breaking it off would be now that we have our year, our calendar year, in terms of everything, I would look at it from July, really from, I guess July 1 is our new, right? So if you look from July 1, actually, we've only had which July, August, September, October, November, December. We really only have one over 5 or 6 months instead of over 4 months. So I think that's the way we ought to break it down. And clearly, and even the 6 months before that, it was 1, 2, 3, 4. It was even a big drop from the previous year, or the previous 6 months. So I think, that's looking good. The harassment allegations are black. I only see one really over the last 6 months, not just 4 months. The inconsistent processes is the blue is my concern that I was pointing out, because we obviously, we had 3 in August, none since then, but yeah, I don't think we've had as much of a, and I guess that was actually the first month after the change of our year. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but.
The other thing to kind of keep in mind is, in the same way that you're looking at those categories that are kind of on the decrease, if you'll take a look, the orange category, resource appropriation,
yeah.
that particular allegation category, that's kind of increase. Seemingly going in the other direction.
Right.
And again, those are allegations about, you know, in some way, shape, or form, you know, district assets are being used, be it money, be it time, which eventually translates to money.
Right.
That type of thing. And again, allegations, not necessarily substantiated, but
right.
yeah. as such.
But I think it's looking good, though, and I see an overall decrease in some of those. Good report. I want to commend you.
Ms. Gonzalez?
I have a question, Ms. Delano. On page
32,
chart 36. There's 17 reports that are still open, and some of them going back to February 2011.
Yes.
I know you can't elaborate a lot on some of them, but
I can actually give you a little bit more detail, but not in open session.
That would be closed session.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. And basically, kind of, I think there's a couple of those, as I've indicated on page 30, at the bottom of chart 28. A couple of those, 15 of those are ongoing investigations. 2 of those I'm basically just doing a wait period to see if we hear anything back from the actual reporter. The other 15, I can basically tell you that they all relate to a single division.
To what, sorry?
A single division.
Single division.
And it's really kind of taking a more holistic approach because of the fact that there have been, because there's been that type of trend.
Did you want to go into closed session?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Under, in the back it says under, during the course of a meeting, discussion of any item on the agenda should be held in closed meeting. The board will conduct a closed meeting in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act, Government Code Chapter 551, subchapter D and E, before any closed meeting is convened. The citing officer will publicly identify the section or sections of the act authorizing the closed meeting. All final votes, actions, and decisions will have to be taken in public, but we don't have to take any action on that. So I'm requesting that we go into executive session for item D, the hotline activity summary report.
Yeah.
Alabama 6.
It'll reserve to be there anyways.
Should have been Oklahoma State.
Not me, right?
No. Oh, Mando, you need to do a certified
agenda. Yeah.
Can I get a certified agenda?
Certified agenda. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Tony.
Close sessions.
Is she here or no?
Tony. Just make sure, just my mission is just write down the notes of the discussion and put them in.
Was no, I know, but it's item. Well, it's the item that it was. What was the chart number?
23?
36.
The one that was
confirmed was
reference to
36. 36
on page 32.
Chart
36
on page
32. Yes.
Will bring us back to what time did we go into executive session?
7:55.
And this brings us back to open session at 8:20. Is that what I'm getting? 8:20. Does anybody else have any other questions regarding agenda item D? To D? No? If not, then that will take us to the next agenda item.
Agenda item 2E, GIS
update. Through the chair, Ms. Brigham went to go get a certified agenda. You might want to do item 3.
Community input.
They all need to sit down.
We'll wait. We'll just wait.
She's going to get you one of those.
Okay.
You're fine, Ms.
Brigham. Yeah. 12-0.
I'll give you one after the meeting.
Okay, that's fine.
Search. 12-0.
Four kilos.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You're going to love that.
I don't need to.
Hey, I'll call you after.
Okay.
Good evening, Board President Searles and Council Board Dr. Murphy. You've been given out the presentation on the GIS. I did give you something in the board packet, and this is just I'll review it with you, and if you have any questions, I can note those and get those questions answered and get back to you. Are you ready? Okay, the introduction, I didn't know, again, this is just, you know, I was going to, but I don't need it right now. It's just cozy. It's an integration of hardware and software. It's just for, it's for capturing information, data, charts, populations. Okay, and it allows you to view and understand or interpret that data. On page 2, I have the instructional uses. It helps educators and students and the institutions like the central office look at trends and population growth and things like that. But the next page after educational uses, is the transportation. If you see, like in the little puzzle pieces, it puts the routes and the maps together, and the school district can chart the path to transportation management system. It will pull all the data from the teams. It uses the information that we get from teams, but then it also uses information we get from the city. As far as their planning, you remember you had tonight having my presentation this time for Michelle. So that's the transportation. The next thing is the school boundaries issues on the next page. Many school districts use GIS to create maps of their own school attendance boundaries. You can go into the what if scenarios. If you change this here, what will happen if we go in and go in and like you say, you guys want, you said, okay, now let's look at the new school as far as where would be the best trends to take from that population and how would it affect the other schools. We could give you that information, okay?
I don't mean to be stupid, but I don't know. Where do you get the information, from a satellite or from downtown?
No, what we do, that's an excellent question.
Okay.
Well, we get it from multiple sources, okay? Now, the maps you get from the geographical, it's Sabin's. It's, you know, I thought somebody might ask me this question, and I looked up the acronym, but I cannot. It's a network of, it's from the government, and they have, and you can pull out all, it's almost like, you know, how we use that, the globe. It's all, it has all the longitudinal settings, it has all the street maps, it has that. So we pull that, we use that, it's what the city uses. It's the same system the city uses. And we can pull that in, and then we also pull in the information from teams. So, and then we pull in information from the tax base. You use multiple databases and it all goes in. And it's kind of like that report, you know what you're, like when Diana, you were talking about all the charts. And
yeah.
It does all that, but only what it does do, if you try to put it in into, when you're creating a topographical map, like Mr. Amadatis might want to say, okay, we're looking at this site of land, and I don't know this site of land, so what we could do is we could go into these databases, and it will say, okay, there's no water in this, like there's no underground wells, there's no mining as far as natural gases, and then it goes on the top, it'll even tell you what layers that is on, then it will tell you if it's in a flood zone. And it's kind of like layers upon layers, so you have to figure out, and it's all these, and so the maps are very intricate. And it depends on how detailed. Now, the maps that Ernesto would want are totally different than the maps I would want. I wouldn't even know how to read some of his maps, you know, because he would be very interested in the things that were underground, like, you know, where are the sewer lines, yeah. Where are the gas lines, and see, that would be some of the information we would put in.
Okay.
But
it draws from different places. Then,
yes, and that's what the complexity of it is, which I okay. will tell you that
thank you.
What we have to. Okay. But I put in some of the stuff that I would that the school would be using, and then I know Ernesto would be using other things. But and then the next page is remember this one. It says why not walk to school today? Remember the smart the presentation you had. I think it was last month on smart growth. I put a little thing there that says think green. Well, it's, we could give, you know, we're all gonna grow. And this is, you could use this tool the same to meet with your architect or things like that. Or even with city planning uses this. Remember when he came in and he said how unfortunate it was that Hutt Brown has a beautiful school but all the homes, it's not a walking school
yeah.
because they have the homes facing the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Yeah.
That's what this would be doing too.
Better mousetrap.
Right. But that information would come directly from the city. That information. And it would be plotted, you know, it's because they put in permits
mm-hmm.
and they have to plot the land. And they have to put in the roadways, and they have to put the infrastructure in. So that's where that information would come from. Okay, that's the city. Implement GIS is the next page, and I had put this down in the other report. We would have to purchase another computer because it just needs so much more memory. It's similar to what we have, only it would need more external internal memory. The maps and geographical addressing can be printed on plotted standard printers and broad-based printers. The facilities department would recommend about a broad-based printer for them, and that's because it would, well, for two reasons. For the routes I could be done easily, but there's some things, and then we have a plotter, which is huge. And sometimes you just need in between those two, and that's what that would be. You know, so for the routes, you could actually put a route on a broad base, but you could also put it on a smaller one that you can give to the schools. But then you have a plotter, but there's some things you just don't want to carry that big plotter paper around. So the broad bases, and I think Mr. Amadatis would have much more use of that as far as when it got to topographical details.
So this is a small plotter?
It's similar to a small plotter, only it doesn't have as many heads. It's it can be networked. So in other words, once it's on our network, we could if we had it over here, then I mean if we had the program over here, if we could send it all the way over to transportation, would print over there. It is similar to a plotter, only it has a little bit more. The plotter is not as finite as the broad base. It has more pins in it. It could do more of, you know, like when you see those, the schematics, it does more of that stuff. It's a little bit more in depth. But it's mid-size. And then the renewal of the license is $3,500. We just had done that. And then also the other costs that have continued, training sessions, those costs could be determined. During a flood here at Central Office this past, when we got back, we had to, in the school resources, we went through a lot of the stuff, and I actually found some training manuals. And who knows who went back to them, because there was notes in them, and nobody's name was in them. But, and I looked in, and those courses were online, so you can get them online. School resources personnel to implement GIS. It would take a minimum of two people to be trained because in order for the state sustainability and the issue is the limited resources we do have in school resources. Because what had happened before is what I'm seeing is that this was a program that was, I think, used. However, again, sustainability didn't happen because the person that knew it left.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Ms. Brigham, so what you're asking for is $14,700. What about personnel, without the cost of personnel.
Really, my whole intent was to just give you information to let you know that in order to implement GIS, it's going to cost the and to answer Ms. Searle's questions, the contracted services that's in there, you have to have in there. Because that's a minimum of $5,000, and what that would be is that it would be a person that we could contract, and there's a couple people we can contract, that they could set up and load those databases into this new computer. Then the information has to be extracted.
So, are you looking at hiring two additional people, or two people you already have in your department?
Well, if we wouldn't have to have two additional people, but what this program, if we're going to start using it where it should be used, it's going to take personnel. And right now we have people that are doing half-time website, we have people that are doing half-time, you know what I mean, we have, so I don't know. I mean, I think that's why I just want to be very straightforward, because this is not something that it is, yes, the 14.7, it's easy, that's easy to come up with. It's the personnel costs, you know, that's the issue. But what Ms. Searle said about the databases, that's exactly what happens, is we get the databases from the city, and we can load those in. We can do that. We can load, matter of fact, we'd be the ones that would be loading the teams. We wouldn't be loading from Savings. That is that the departmental, the government database, as far as how it changes all the vectors in the area. That we'd have to have loaded. So 14.7 is without personnel. So what my task was is to bring you the information on how much it would cost to get this implemented, and that's what I wanted to make sure you knew.
I had asked for this agenda item.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, this is information only, and, of course, it's not the wording that I wanted. Anyway, I know that this is a very complex
program.
Yes.
Well, that's what. Well, I didn't go into all the uses. It could go. Yes. I put all the uses in. You're right, Ms. Gonzalez, because I put in the uses that I could see that would be called upon on the school resources. Then that's why it absolutely. This one program could absolutely take one person to do.
Which you said two. But is that one, of course it would be convenient.
It's just training, because what's happened is what I'm saying is everything that we do, that we have cross-training, we try to do a lot of cross-training. Yes. And, you know, even our systems techs know a lot, they don't know everything about the networks, if they know something about it, because we could then piece together things together. But what happened is that they were using this, and because it was, I don't know what it was held on and
there was no cross training, and now we're seeing that it just stayed there because no one was cross trained in the use of the
software. And we have played with it, and our maps are kind of funny, and it's because we played with it. You know, I mean, we could get somebody in here that could do, and you'd have to have somebody in here a couple times a year to just upload. We could upload, like I said, once it's in there, we do third-party software, but it's, if, in order for this program, I don't know what they do, I know they use it for multiple things in El Paso.
I've seen the product, I've seen what they can do.
It's amazing.
Yes, they can build schedules, well, kind of like schedules. They can tell you how many square footage. It's amazing what this program can do.
Well, it can go into, that's what I'm saying. Ernesto was talking to me about this, that, and this was originally housed at the assistant superintendent.
Correct. Patsy and Rachel and I and Monica can recall all this. That's why Patsy's saying that no one was cross-trained because we knew who had it at that time, and that person is no longer here.
Right. And so, and now we do have, we have done without it, and but we don't have current maps.
Correct.
But we could get, we can. So what I don't know is that, for giving you this information, is can for 14.7 plus personnel costs, is there another alternative that you'd like me to look at? Or do you want me to?
Well, that's, I apologize.
What, were you done?
No. Well, we've already paid for the license.
Yes.
So this is a yearly expense?
Right. We did it this year because we wanted to look into it. And with the new school going in, and it's Estelle Jimenez and myself.
So those four people would be
those
the
two people that would be we're the ones that were, right. We were the ones that were looking at it. And we know enough, it's like, I'm going to quote Ms. Searles, we know enough to know that we don't know it all and that we need some help in it. And so, and there are other things out there. But this is, the one we have is the ArcGIS, which is very comprehensive.
That's what the city uses too.
That's what the city uses, I think that's what EPISD uses. Why they use that, and it's not just ArcGIS that will do that, but you want that ability to upload and download multiple databases. You know, that you want the topographical databases to come in, you want the climate databases to come in, you want the, I mean, it will tell you things about the summer solstice if you wanted to. You know what I mean? It's, you know, but you use it, but we're using it mainly for planning. We would use it mainly for planning, for routing, for, you know, I'd have to talk to a
that's true. For student projections?
Oh, absolutely, student projections. Well, that's what they were using it for. Is that not correct?
Yeah. They would tell you how many kids.
But they get that directly from the city. And then what they do, and then they put it, and then they come up with, like, you've all seen, like, those heat maps.
You know what? And that's what this individual gets directly from the city, and then he uploads it onto the server. And
see, we can get that. We have uploaded it into the server. Now, the computer we don't have. You know, we really need something with more memory because it's huge, if you can imagine.
Yes, it is.
It makes, you know, I thought Interforia was huge, which it is huge, but it takes a lot of memory. That's a drop in the bucket compared to what this takes. It takes so much. But this is something like maybe 20 years ago NASA used. And now with technology and information and...
As a matter of fact, I've seen what this program does. I've seen how many students in our district go to EPISD. I've seen it.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
And they can pinpoint it the address.
Oh, no, absolutely.
They can tell you which address, how many kids per address.
You know what it is you
and they can do vice versa.
Yes, absolutely. And how many kids in El Paso belong to Canutillo, and I've seen it.
Because you go by longitude.
It's amazing what this program does.
Rather than by an address.
Well, we can. So what's going to happen to... go ahead, Ms.
Oh, it's on. It's
I'm sorry, I'm done. Oh. For now.
But Patsy had a question first. Go ahead.
I believe that this is a worthwhile thing for the district to look
at.
Yes,
I agree.
And I'd like to make a recommendation that this item go before the full board for approval. For consideration of approval.
Financially and otherwise?
Absolutely.
Yes. The only, and I will do absolutely what you would like me to do, the only thing that I would like you to consider is the personnel. I'm thinking that, I don't know. I mean, initially we might not need it, but I'm saying it would not, because what Ms. Gonzalez just said, the potential is huge. And I think once they see the potential, you could have a person. Do you see that at EPISD?
No.
Okay.
No, because
It's another duty as assigned?
Yes.
No, I'm, and, I'm just trying to be straight. You know?
Yes,
yeah.
And yes, it's other duties as assigned. And I can see it here, and I think we can go that direction for now. So.
Okay, so is there a funding that needs to be other than under
well,
the 10?
I did not budget this. I mean, I did budget the license, mm-hmm. and that it was brought up, you know, whether this was going to be a worthwhile project or not. I mean, we could absolutely do it for next year. We could, I could put it in the budget for next year, or I don't know, it's up to the board's pleasure as far as what you direct us to do.
I forgot about Ms. Cáceres, so.
I have a question. What about the plotter we already have? Is that just going to go by the wayside? Is that the one that's over at Support Services right now? The big
one
that
you can use the same one.
Oh, you can. Oh, it's back over here. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. But it's not connected right now or anything.
Well, yeah, we use it for all other things.
For posters?
No, we use it for, like, we just. No.
I'm just kidding.
We use it for the testing calendar. We do use it for parent teacher conferences as far as we do it for master schedule.
But it does have capabilities to work with this too.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
But
because I know that was like a really expensive piece of
equipment. It wasn't being used for a long time, mm-hmm. but now it's being used.
Okay. That was my question. Thank you.
Okay.
I think that initially was bought for this.
So it's going to go over the 10,000, right? Is that what I'm looking at? 14,700?
Yes.
And so do we have the... Do we have the ability in our budget right now to?
Okay. To the chair, I just want to emphasize, and Ms. Brigham's being very nice, and I'll just put out the 200-pound gorilla from Ms. Brigham. Ms. Brigham actually came in today and saw me. She's very concerned about personnel. And to get GIS fully on board and effective to the point where this discussion is going. We are going to need an additional personnel unit to do so.
And I'm not on this committee, but I believe that what I hear is we can budget that for next year's budget, and with the knowledge that we need personnel as well as components,
and then we can
as well as a place to put someone, and you know that it's more than just okay, you got the program. You need someone to make it effective, and if we're going to have that happen, we need to budget accordingly, and that should be apparently something that is in one of our budget workshops that we'll hear, that this is the board's desire to make this go.
And then we can cross-train a second person who's existing staff.
We have to make sure, because it was here before and now it has gone to the wayside, but I do want, and Dr. Murphy's right, I think with the staff, if you look at the staff we have, we already stretched. And
yeah.
With the teams of conversion and implementation. But I know it could be another duty that's assigned, but what I'm saying is.
It sounds like it's an awfully hard job that somebody needs to know how to become an expert in.
Well, with everything that they had done before, they had brought contracted services in, and they only pretty much ran the, I think they just ran the printer, the plotter. To be honest with you, I think that's all they did. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. So, in other words, somebody else did it?
If that's true.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, they had somebody else
yes.
Go in.
Yes.
All right.
Several.
Okay. So, any more questions, or we're okay to... I guess we're going to recommend it. I would like to look at... Well, the personnel is not coming to the fiscal year budget, right? Okay. So we'll recommend it to the board? Okay. Did you have a question? Okay. And that will take us to the next item.
Item 3, community input.
Okay. No community input. That will take us to the next item.
Item 4, agenda.
Okay. Without objection, without objection?
Objection.
Okay.
I object, please.
We're good. Let me thank you for bringing.
Thank you.
Thank you for supporting.